quiet and apprehensive. I look at Kate, shaking my head, dying to ask if she likes this Jessie. "We're just going to pop down the Cock for a drink," Sam says quietly, grabbing Kate's hand and pulling her down the landing. She doesn't try to stop him. I watch them leave, mentally cursing their chicken asses for leaving me alone to deal with this crazy man here. He seems to take a few calming breaths, looking up at the ceiling in wariness, before returning his blazing gaze to mine. It penetrates me deeply.
"Does someone need a reminder?"
What? I think I must have a carpet burn on my chin, because my jaw has just plummeted to the rug. "No!" I shout, steaming past him into the kitchen. "I need that drink." I hear him follow me, watching as I chuck my phone on the worktop and yank the bottle of wine up. "You're a complete bastard!" I yell, pouring my wine with shaky hands. I'm boiling mad. I swing around and fire him my most evil look. He actually winces slightly, which fills me with immense satisfaction. "You've got what you wanted. So have I. Let's not fuck about," I spit. I haven't got what I wanted, not in the least bit, but I ignore the voice in my head screaming that at me. I need to stop this before I get dragged any further into the intensity that is Jessie Ward.
"Watch your fucking mouth," he shouts. "What are you talking about? I haven't got what I wanted."
"You want more?" I quickly swig my wine. "Well, I don't. So stop hounding me, Jessie. And stop shouting at me!" I go for brutality, but I fear I probably sound pretty pathetic in my attempt. Something's got to work. I take another huge gulp of my wine, jumping when it's swiped from my hand and tossed in the sink. I wince at the shattering of glass that cracks through the air.
"You don't have to drink like a fucking 15-year-old, he yells.
My fists ball at my sides as I use all of my willpower to calm myself down.
"Get out!"
I scream. My attempts are failing miserably. I'm becoming frantic, desperate. I shrink on the spot when he roars in frustration, throwing his fist into the kitchen door, leaving a huge dent in the wood. Eyes bulging and lips sealed firmly shut, I can do no more than watch his fierce reaction to my rejection. He turns to face me, shaking his head a little, and looks me square in the eyes, his green stare attacking me. Fuck me, that's got to hurt. I'm about to go to the freezer to get some ice, but he starts to stalk toward me. I brace my hands on the edge of the worktop behind me and watch him approach until we are front to front, his hands laying over mine, effectively trapping me. Breathing heavily in my face, he scowls at me and then smashes his lips onto my mouth. My breath is literally sucked out of me as I writhe under him, trying to free myself. What's he doing? Actually, I know exactly what he's doing. He's going to hit me with a reminder fuck. I'm so screwed. He pushes his lips harder against mine, but I don't accept his kiss. I keep telling myself that this is bad, so bloody wrong. I'm going to hurt even more if I accept this. I know I will. I half-heartedly try to free myself, but he growls, his hands tightening on mine. I'm not going anywhere. My desperate attempts to halt this are being seriously hindered by his sheer determination to break me down. His tongue skims my bottom lip as I continue to deny him access, shuddering in an attempt to fight off the reactions he's drawing from me. I know that if he gains entry, it will be game over, so I stubbornly keep my lips locked shut while mentally pleading for him to give up. When he releases one of my hands, I instantly grab his biceps to push him away, but it's no good. He's a powerhouse of a man, and a determined one at that. He's not affected in the slightest by my meager attempts to free myself. He grabs my hip tightly, and I jerk under him, but I'm pressed back into the worktop. I'm completely trapped, but I still defiantly reject his kiss, keeping my lips shut tight. I turn my head away when he eases up a bit.
"Stubborn woman,"
he mutters, pressing his lips against my neck, licking and nibbling his way down to the hollow, circling long wet strokes before working his way up to my ear and biting at my lobe. I squeeze my eyes shut, pleading with my self-control to resist his irresistible touch. My fingernails are digging into his tense upper arm, and my lips are locked shut for fear of letting out a cry of pleasure. His hand leaves my hip and moves slowly across my stomach, skimming the waistband of my shorts.
"Please, please stop."
"You stop, Ava. Just stop."
Slipping his index finger under the material, he traces left to right in slow, soft, measured strokes, while continuing the invasion of his lips on my ear and neck. I could cry with frustration. The warm friction buckles my knees, sending violent quivers over my entire body, and I hear him laugh lightly, deep at the back of his throat, sending vibrations down my spine and a slow, steady beat to my core. I clamp my thighs together, moving my hand from his arm to his chest and pushing in total vain. I don't even know why I'm bothering now. I'm a heartbeat away from surrendering to him. My head feels like it could explode, and I'm not sure if it'll be in pleasure or confusion. And then his hand is delving into my knickers, his fingers separating me, causing electricity to spark violently through me. He brushes over my clitoris, so very gently, and I jerk. My mouth opens, and I let out a cry of pleasure. He takes full advantage of my lapse in willpower, thrusting his tongue into my mouth, exploring and lapping every corner, his thumb slowly circling my burning core. I kiss him back.
"Let my hand go,"
I pant, flexing the muscles in my arm. He must know that he's got me, because my hand is released on a moan, and he's gripping the nape of my neck immediately. I throw my arms around his neck to pull him closer to me, just like that. I orgasm on a shout that's a mixture of pure Jesse bliss and infuriating frustration.
"Remember yet?"
he whispers softly against my lips, pulling his hand free. I sigh, dragging my heavy eyes open to meet his green gaze. I don't answer him. He doesn't demand it. He just leans down, dropping a gentle kiss on my mouth. He lifts me onto the worktop.
"Why do you keep running away from me?"
His eyes search mine as he rests his hands on either side of my thighs, bending his body, leaning in. I drop my head. I can't look at him. What can I tell him? That I've fallen in love with him? No. So I shrug instead. He places his index finger under my chin and tips my head back up, so I'm forced to confront his achingly handsome face. He raises his eyebrows at me expectantly.
"Talk to me, baby."
I sigh. "You're distracting me. I don't want to get hurt." I look at him as he chews his bottom lip, the cogs of his mind going into overdrive. He doesn't know what to say to that.
"I'm a distraction?"
"Yes."
"What am I distracting you from?"
"Being sensible," I reply quietly. The intoxicating effect he has on my body is settling deeper. He said he would make me need him, and he's keeping true to his word.
"Ava, know one thing. I'll do anything to avoid hurting you. Please don't run away from me."
He leans in and pecks my lips.
I'm going to distract you some more now. We need to make friends.
His low voice is sparking off my desire for him all over again, his words comforting as he grabs me under my bum and slides me off the worktop to straddle his waist. I wrap my arms around his back as he walks us out of the kitchen into my bedroom, kicking the door shut behind him and then placing me on the end of the bed, pulling my vest up over my head. My bare breasts spring free, pulling a smile from him as he looks down into my eyes. My vest is tossed on the floor and the waistband of my shorts grasped, encouraging me to lift my bum so he can draw them down my legs, taking my knickers with them.
Stay there,
he orders, reaching up and pulling at his tie. Sparks of anticipation ricochet all around my body as I watch him slowly undress in front of me, my eyes automatically drawn to the sight of his scar. I'm desperate to know where it came from.
Look at me, Ava.
His tone pulls my eyes to his as he drags his boxers down his legs, his erection springing free at eye level to me. If I reach forward and open my mouth, I'll have the upper hand. That would make a nice change. I glance up at him, catching a wicked grin and blazing eyes.
I'm desperate to be inside you, he says darkly. I'll look forward to fucking your mouth later. You owe me.
A powerful thud crashes into my core as he leans down and curls his arm around my waist before crawling up the bed above me and placing me down gently beneath him. My thighs are spread by his knee, and he cradles himself between them, resting his forearms on either side of my head as he looks down at me with soft eyes.
I could weep.
We don't run anymore, Ava,
he says, holding my gaze as he slowly draws back and drives forward, plunging deeply into me. I moan and adjust my grip on his shoulders, shifting under him. The fullness is incredible. He blows out a long, controlled breath of air, the concentration frown flickering across his brow, shiny with sweat and heavy on his forehead. I resist the urge to contract around him. He needs a moment. His eyes close, his long lashes fanning out against his cheeks, his head dropping to mine as he battles to compose his erratic breathing. I wait patiently, running my hands up and down his firm upper arms, more than happy to lay here looking at this beautiful man so closely. He knows I need gentle Jessie right now. After a few moments, he gathers himself together and lifts his head back up to look at me. My heart constricts in my chest. I'm so in love with this man. He lifts his upper body to brace his arms, then lazily drags back and gradually drives forward. I purr. Oh, good God. He repeats the delectable move over and over, watching me the entire time.
Ava, when you're tempted to run again, think about how you feel right now. Think about me.
Yes, I breathe, struggling to dampen down a fast build-up of pressure. I do think, though, that's the problem, and an unavoidable one. He invades every corner of my mind.
I rock my hips up to meet his every thrust, and he lowers his mouth to mine, taking my lips leisurely and lazily, matching his blazing hip rhythm with his tongue. I whimper, digging my nails into his arms as he drives slowly forward, circles deeply and withdraws lazily, time and time again. I can't hold out for much longer. How does he do this to me?
Does that feel good?
He whispers.
Too good,
I gasp on a lazy grind.
It does. Are you there, lady?
He asks against my lips.
I nip his tongue.
I'm there.
I've got you, baby. Let it go.
The racking shudder that courses through my body has me clenched around Jesse's arousal, shaking wildly against him as I moan my release into his mouth. The last deep thrust, followed by a jerk and hot sensation flooding me, signals Jesse's release. He holds himself deep and clenches his eyes shut, while paying loving attention to my mouth, moaning low, the pulsating of him triggering my muscles to tense around him, all in time to his throbs. I'm draining him dry.
God, I've missed you,
he whispers, burying his face in the crook of my neck and nuzzling before rolling onto his back. He holds his arm up, and I move into his warm, firm chest, resting my cheek on his peck.
I love sleepy sex with you, I muse dreamily.
That wasn't sleepy sex, baby.
He brushes my hair from my face with his spare hand.
What was it then?
He kisses my forehead gently.
That was catching up sex.
Oh, a new one.
I like catching up sex then. Don't like it too much. It won't happen very often.
A stab of disappointment pierces me.
Why?
Because, lady, you won't be running away from me again, and I don't plan on being away from you very often either.
He inhales in my hair.
If ever.
I smile to myself, throwing my leg over his thighs. He clasps my knee, rubbing circles over my skin with his thumb, while I trace my fingers across the surface of his scar.
How did this happen?
I ask, as I follow the line around to his side. He inhales tiredly.
How did what happen, Ava?
His words leave no room for movement or interrogation on the matter. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Nothing,
I whisper softly, making a mental note not to ask again.
What are you doing tomorrow?
It's Wednesday. I'm working.
Take the day off.
What? Just like that?
I feel him shrug.
Yes.
You owe me 2 days.
He makes everything sound so straightforward. It's okay for him, with his own business and no one to answer to. I, on the other hand, have clients, a boss, and a pile of work to do.
I have too much to do. Besides, you abandoned me for 4 days,
I remind him.
Come with me now, then.
He squeezes me in a little bit more.
Where?
I've got to shoot over to the manor, sort a few things out with John. You can have some dinner while you wait for me.
Not a chance. I'm not going to the manor and risk bumping into old pouty lips.
I think I'll stay here. I don't want to get in your way, I say quietly, hoping he doesn't push this. Another standoff with Sarah will not be a good way to end the day. I'm rolled onto my back with my wrists pinned to the sides of my head as Jesse looms over me.
You won't ever be in my way.
He rests his lips between my breasts and trails kisses across my nipple.
You'll come.
My nipple hardens under his gentle swirling tongue, my breathing fluttering.
I'll see you tomorrow,
I force the words through pants. His teeth clamp lightly onto my nipple as he looks up at me, grinning.
Sense fuck,
he offers through a mouthful of breast. I hear the front door crash open and the laughter of Kate and Sam coming up the stairs, and I look down at Jesse still clamped around my nipple, the frustration marring his face, leaving me secretly pleased. While I'd take a sense fuck any time, the sense he aims on fucking into me on this particular occasion makes no sense at all. Why would I want to set myself up for a verbal spar with Sarah? He huffs childishly, releasing my nipple.
I don't suppose you can keep your mouth shut while I fuck some sense into you.
I raise my eyebrows.
He knows that's impossible. For fuck's sake, he grumbles, pushing himself up, making a point of brushing his knee up the inside of my thigh and over my moist center. The friction has me wanting to yank him back down to me. I don't want him to go. He leans down and kisses me hard and purposefully.
I've got to go. When I call you tomorrow, you'll answer the phone.
I will, I confirm obediently. He smiles darkly and grabs my hip, making me squeal like a little girl and flip myself onto my front. Then I feel the sting of his palm meeting my backside. Ouch!
Sarcasm doesn't suit you, lady.
The bed shifts as he gets up. When I turn over, his shirt is on his back and he's working the buttons. Will Sarah be at the manor? I blurt before my brain filters the stupid question. He pauses briefly before picking up his boxes and stepping into them.
I hope so. She works for me.
What? You said she was a friend. I sound whiny, and I mentally slap myself for it.
He frowns. Yes, she's a friend and she works for me.
Marvelous. I roll out of bed and find my vest and shorts. No wonder she's always loitering around. God, I hate that woman. I yank my vest and shorts on and turn to find Jesse pulling his suit jacket over his shoulders. He's watching me thoughtfully. Does he know what I'm thinking?
Are you going to put some clothes on?
He asks, looking me up and down. I look down at my shorts and vest combo and back up to him. His eyebrows are raised. I'm at home.
Yes, and Sam's out there.
Sam doesn't seem to think anything of walking around in his pants. At least I'm covered.
Sam's an exhibitionist, he grumbles, walking over to my wardrobe and flicking through the rails. Here, put this on.
He hands me a chunky knit, oversized cream jumper.
No, I splutter in disgust. I'll pass out of overheating.
He thrusts it closer to me with a determined, dirty look.
Put the jumper on.
No, I say it slowly and concisely. He's not dictating my wardrobe, especially not when I'm at home. I snatch the jumper from him and throw it on the bed, watching as he follows its path through the air. He looks at it sprawled on the bed, then slowly returns his eyes to mine. His teeth are going 10 to the dozen, chewing his bottom lip.
3,
he grates. My eyes widen. Are you winding me up? He ignores me.
2.
I'm not putting the jumper on.
1.
His lips press into a straight line of displeasure. Do what you like, Jesse. I'm not putting that jumper on. His eyes narrow.
0.
We stand opposite each other, him with an expression of genuine fury mixed with a bit of delight, and me wondering what the hell he's going to do now. He shakes his head, exhaling a long lungful of air, and then he makes his move. I dart across the bed to escape, getting caught up in the mountain of sheets and squealing when I feel his warm palm wrap around my ankle. He yanks me across the bed. Jesse! I cry as he flips me over and straddles me, pinning my arms under his knees. Get off! I blow my hair out of my face, finding him looking down at me, his face deadly serious.
Let's clear something up.
He removes his jacket, throws it on the bed, and picks up the jumper.
If you do what you're told, our lives will be a lot easier. All of this.
He strokes his palms over my torso and pinches my nipples through my vest.
Is for my eyes only.
He moves his hand behind him and digs his fingers into the hollow above my hip bone. No! I scream. Oh, please, no! I start laughing,
Oh, God, I'll pee myself. He continues with the digs and squeezes, sending me on a wild bucking mission. I can't breathe. I'm between laughter and crying at his torturous touch.
That's better, I hear him say through my bucking frenzy. I feel my hair being brushed away from my face, then his lips pressed hard on mine.
You could have saved us both a lot of trouble if you'd have just put the fucking jumper on.
I look up at him and scowl as he lifts his heavy weight from me and puts his jacket back on. I sit up, finding I'm wearing the stupid jumper. How did he manage that? I turn my fierceness onto him. He's regarding me intently, not a hint of amusement on his face. I'll just take it off, I spit.
No, you won't, he assures me on a grin.
I get off the bed, heading for the bathroom in the ridiculous jumper.
You're an unreasonable ass, I mutter, slamming the door behind me.
I go for a wee and make a mental note never to let him get to zero again. That was my worst nightmare. I rub my poor abused hips, the sensitive flesh above my bones still tingling. When I'm done, I find Jesse in the kitchen with Sam and Kate, who both run their eyes over my jumper-clad body. I shrug, pouring myself another wine.
Made up? Kate asks, perching on Sam's lap.
He separates his thighs, causing Kate to slip between his legs on a squeal. She playfully slaps him before looking at me for an answer.
No, I mutter, throwing Jesse a disgruntled look.
And if you'd like to know who has put a hole in your kitchen door, look no further. I point my glass at Jesse.
He also smashed your wine glass, I add, like the pathetic snitch I am.
I watch as Jesse reaches in his pocket, palms off a pile of 20s, and slaps them on the table in front of Kate.
Let me know if it's any more, he says, keeping his eyes firmly on me.
I look down at the table. There must be at least 500 quid there, and I notice he didn't apologize, the arrogant arse. Kate shrugs and scoops the money up.
That should cover it.
Jesse shoves his hands back in his pockets, saunters over to me, and bends so his face is level with mine.
I like your jumper.
Fuck off, I mouth, before taking a huge swig of wine. He grins, kissing my nose.
Mouth,
he warns, grasping the back of my head and bunching my hair in his fist, pulling me forward so we're nose to nose.
Don't drink too much,
he orders, and then lands me with a searing hot kiss. I try to resist. A little.
I don't at all.
You might need to remind me of that. I grin around his lips and he laughs a little. When I'm free and have regained my senses, I take another glug as I watch him over the rim. He shakes his head mildly, inhaling deeply, before turning away from me.
My work is done here, he says smugly as he leaves.
Bye,
Kate sings on a laugh.
My man,
Sam holds his hand up on a grin.
Ava, where's the love?
Up his arse, I mumble, discarding my wine glass and collecting my phone before traipsing back to my room. I hear Sam and Kate laughing as I crawl into bed with my jumper on. Chapter 19. I sit at my desk in a complete daydream, my mind racing with thoughts of comforting words and fuckings of various degrees. If, in my perfect little world, I end up in a relationship with Jesse, would this be how it is all of the time? Jesse making commands and me obeying them? It's that or receiving some sort of fuck, or being subjected to some kind of countdown and torture until I relent, or he manhandles me into complying. I'm not denying the certain element of fun in the fucking side of things, but there has to be give and take.
and I'm not sure Jesse knows how to give, unless it's a Jesse-style fucking. Am I already in a relationship with this man?
Ava, you're here early.
Sally walks into the office, and I immediately giggle to myself. I saw Sally in a different light yesterday. Yes, I woke up early, I say, wanting to add that it's because a neurotic arse made me wear a winter jumper in bed, causing me to wake up in a pool of sweat. She settles herself at her desk.
I tried calling you yesterday after you left.
You did?
Yes, that angry man came into the office shortly after you left.
He did? I should have known.
He did, and his mood had not improved, she says dryly.
I can imagine. I smile. Did you give him a cuddle? Sally snorts, flopping back in her chair in another fit of laughter, and I join her, laughing helplessly as I watch Sal fall apart all over her desk. Patrick walks in and looks at both of us in exasperation before making his way to his own office, shutting the door behind him.
Oh, shit. Was Patrick here?
I ask. She takes her glasses off and starts cleaning them with the hem of her brown polyester blouse.
What, when the lunatic came in? No, he was collecting Irene from the train station.
I let out a sigh of relief.
What's Jesse thinking? He's a client. He can't come into my office and start throwing his weight around.
I can hardly pass off Jesse's temper as a normal client grievance scenario. He's already heaved me out of the office once. The office door opens, and the flower delivery girl, Luso girl again, trundles in with two lavish sprays.
Flower deliveries for Ava and Sally.
I watch as Sally nearly passes out at her desk. I bet she's never had flowers bought for her. I already know who they're from, though, the smooth bastard.
Me?
Sally gushes, grabbing the colourful bouquet from the delivery girl and shooing her towards my desk. Thanks, I smile, taking the simple spray of calla lilies before signing on behalf of Sally and myself.
What does the card say, Sal?
I call, watching her eyes dart from left to right across the words. She leans back, placing her hand over her heart.
It says, "Please accept my apologies. That woman makes me crazy."
Oh, Ava!
She looks up at me all soppy.
I would love to make a man that crazy.
I roll my eyes, retrieving the card from my own flowers. I bet I don't have an apology. And Sally wouldn't be saying that if she was on the receiving end of Jesse's unreasonable, neurotic behaviour. I make him crazy? What a joke. I open my card. You're the one I've been waiting a long time for. J.X. My soppy side swoons slightly, but then the sensible side of my brain, the part that's not completely consumed with Jesse, is screaming that the one is actually someone who drops to their knees and obeys his every command, demand, and instruction. While I'm fully aware that I've done exactly that on numerous occasions, I also need to keep a hold of my identity and my mind. It's bloody hard when I'm so affected by this man. I'm the one. Is he the one? Oh, heck. I really want him to be. After leaving work late, I wander down our street and see Kate in the distance, jumping around in the middle of the road like the red-headed nutter that she is. As I near, I do a double take, seeing a bright pink van parked up next to Margot, but this one's brand spanking new. So Kate's finally invested in some new wheels. Nice wheels, I say as I approach. She spins around, her blue eyes dancing, her pale cheeks flushed. Do you know anything about this? I shake my head. Why would I?
I just got home and it was parked here. I admired it for a bit, walked through the front door, and trod on the keys.
Look!
She thrusts the keys under my nose, prompting me to look at the note attached to a piece of string on the keyring.
No more bruised butts, please.
No. He wouldn't have, surely.
I think back to his fierce reaction to my battered bottom. Have you spoken to Sam? I ask.
Yep.
He said I should speak to Jesse.
Why would he say that?
I ask.
Well, obviously, because he thinks Jesse is the mystery van buyer.
She rolls her eyes. If the Lord has bought me a van, so you don't bruise your ass again, then I'll love the fact that you bruise like a peach.
Kate, you can't accept it.
She looks at me in disgust, and I know that there's not a hope in hell of her returning the van. I can see it in her delighted eyes.
No fucking way. Don't you dare make me give it back. I've already christened her.
What?
She spreads her long pale fingers over the hood.
Meet Margot Junior.
She lays her torso down on the pink metal.
I shake my head in exasperation, making my way up the path to the house. I'm taking her for a spin, Kate yells.
I don't reply. Instead, I take myself up the stairs and throw myself in the shower, taking my time to wash the day away. As I turn the water off, I hear a Stone Roses track, The One, and nearly break my neck scrambling out of the shower to sprint across the landing. He's been messing with my phone again, but I couldn't give a damn. The phone rings off, the screen clearing to reveal 8 missed calls.
Oh no, he'll be ripping his hair out again.
I dial him as I walk across the landing and into the lounge, looking out of the window to see if Kate's back. She's not, but Jesse is pacing up and down the garden path, looking his usual godly self in jeans and a thin knitted navy jumper. I smile, tingling from top to toe at the sight of him. He's frantically punching buttons on his phone, and just like I knew it would, my mobile lights up in my hand.
Hello?
I say, all cool and casual.
Where the hell are you?
He barks down the phone.
Where are you?
I counter. Of course I know damn well where he is. I stand at the window, watching him rake his hand through his hair, but then he disappears from view into the recess of the front door.
I'm outside Kate's kicking the door down, he snaps. Is it too much to ask that you answer your phone the first time I call you?
I was in the shower, I say, making my way down to the front door.
Take your phone with you.
He's completely exasperated, making me smile. I love every crazy element of him.
You don't need to shout at me.
I look out of the viewer, dissolving on the spot, when I see him leaning against the wall in the open porchway.
I'm sorry, he says softly.
You make me crazy.
Where are you?
I watch him slide down the wall until his ass hits the floor, knees bent, head dropped. Oh, I can't see him like that. I open the door.
Here.
He looks up and drops his phone from his ear, but makes no attempt to get up. He just looks at me, relief flooding his handsome face. I step out and slide down the wall opposite him, so we're sitting across from each other knee to knee. I half expect him to throw me inside because of my half-naked state, but he doesn't. Instead, he reaches forward and places his big hand on my exposed knee, and I'm less than surprised when it sends hot sparks of fire flying all over me.
I thought
I'd run again, I finish for him, resting my hand over his on my knee. I was in the shower.
Where are your clothes?
He runs his green eyes over my towel-clad body. In my wardrobe?
I answer dryly.
His hand disappears under my towel, clasping me above my hip bone, prompting a jerk and the loosening of my towel.
Sarcasm doesn't suit you, lady. Sorry, I splutter, relaxing when he releases me. Sally loved her flowers.
Did you love yours?
I did, thank you.
My man!
I look down the path and see Sam walking up, and when I return my eyes to Jesse, he looks like he may very well have a seizure now. His eyes are wide as he jumps to his feet and yanks me up, doing a spectacular job of keeping me covered by the towel.
Sam, don't fucking move, he yells.
I'm scooped up and bundled through the door at breakneck speed, hearing Sam laughing as Jesse jogs up the stairs with me in his arms, muttering about ripping prying eyes out. I'm tossed on the bed.
Get dressed. We're going out.
I snap my head up. I'm not going to the manor, I think as I get up from the bed, minus one towel, and go to my dressing table.
Where?
His gaze travels down my naked form.
Well, it occurred to me when I was out running that I've not taken you for dinner yet. You have the most incredible legs. Get dressed.
He nods at my wardrobe. If he means dinner at the manor, then I'm not game. I'll avoid that place at all costs if she's there, and the chances are, given that she works for him, she will be.
Where?
I ask again, as I start rubbing cocoa butter into my legs.
A little Italian place I know. Get dressed before I collect on my debt.
I stand, slowly massaging my cream in.
Debt?
His eyebrows rise.
You owe me.
I do? I frown, but I know exactly what he's talking about.
Oh, you do. I'll wait outside at the risk of cashing in sooner.
He gives me his roguish grin.
I wouldn't want you to think this was all about sex.
He leaves me with that little comment before stalking out. Those few words have just made my day. Maybe tonight I'll find out what goes on in that beautiful, complex mind of his. We pull up outside a small Italian restaurant in the West End. I get out of the car, and Jesse comes to collect me, grabbing my hand and pulling me into what can only be described as a sitting room. Dimly lit, and with Italian paraphernalia in every nook and cranny, it's like I've stepped back in time to the 80s in Italy.
Sir Jesse, how very good it is to see you.
A small Italian man approaches. He has a naturally happy face. Jesse clasps his hand.
Luigi, good to see you too.
Come, come.
Luigi gestures us farther into the room. He settles us at a little table in the corner. The tablecloth is cream and embroidered with the Italia Turrita. It's very pretty.
Luigi, this is Ava.
Jesse introduces us. Luigi bows at me.
Ah, a beautiful name for a beautiful lady, yes?
I smile, blushing slightly at his forwardness.
What would Sir Jesse like?
May I?
Jesse asks, nodding at the menu.
He's asking me.
You usually do, I mutter. His eyebrow arches as he puffs his lips lightly, in a don't-push-it gesture. I let him get on with it. He obviously knows what's good on the menu.
Okay, Luigi. We'll have two of the fettuccine with yellow squash, parmesan, and lemon cream sauce, a bottle of the Famiglia Anselma Barolo 2000, and some water.
Luigi scribbles frantically on his pad, backing away.
Yes, yes, Sir Jesse.
Jesse smiles fondly.
Thank you, Luigi.
The Italian scurries off, leaving us alone in the quiet corner of the restaurant.
You come here often? I ask.
His smile broadens into knee-trembling territory.
Are you trying to chat me up?
Of course, I smile as he shifts in his chair.
Mario, the head barman at the manor, insisted I try it, so I did. Luigi's his brother.
Luigi and Mario, I snort rather rudely. Jesse raises his eyebrows at me.
I'm sorry, that really tickled me.
I can see that.
He frowns as Luigi returns with the drinks. Jesse pours me some wine and himself some water.
You didn't get a whole bottle for me, I blurt. Are you not having any?
Christ, I'll be on my back.
No, I'm driving.
And I'm allowed? His lips press into a straight line, but I can see he's trying to suppress a smile at my cheekiness.
You may.
I grin, picking up my glass and sipping carefully as he watches me.
It's lovely.
You bought Kate a van?
I did.
Why?
Because I don't want you being tossed around in the back of that jalopy.
I shake my head a little at his candidness, and as I gaze over the table at the beautiful, neurotic man, my brain is suddenly bombarded with questions. I want to know how old you are, I state confidently. This whole age thing is really quite stupid. He circles the rim of his glass with the tip of his finger as he watches me.
28. Tell me about your family.
I asked first.
And I answered, tell me about your family.
I shake my head in despair. They retired to Newquay a few years back, I sigh. Dad ran a construction firm. Mum was a housewife. My dad had a heart attack scare, so they took early retirement to Cornwall. My brother is living the dream in Australia. Why do you not speak to your parents? I watch carefully, almost apprehensively, for his reaction. He takes a sip of water, and I'm more than surprised when he launches into his answer.
They live in Marbella. My sister's there too. I've not spoken to them for years. They didn't approve when Carmichael left me the manor and all of his estate.
He left it all to you?
He did. We were close. And he didn't talk to my parents. They didn't approve.
They didn't approve of your relationship?
No, they didn't.
He starts chewing his lip. What was not to approve of? I'm completely intrigued now.
He sighs. I can tell he's not comfortable talking about this. As soon as I left school, I spent all of my time with Carmichael. Mum, Dad, and Amelie moved to Spain, and I refused to go. I was 18 and having the time of my life. I stayed with Carmichael when they left. They weren't happy about it.
He shrugs.
3 years later, Carmichael died and I was left to run the manor.
He tells the story with no emotion and takes another swig of water.
The relationship was strained after that. They demanded I sell the manor, but I couldn't. It was Carmichael's baby.
I'm stunned. I found out more about this man in 5 minutes than I have since I've known him. Why is he so talkative tonight? I decide to take advantage. I don't know when I'll get another chance. What do you do for fun?
His green eyes flash black and he grins wickedly. Fuck you.
My eyes widen at his crass answer, but I keep my cool, even though I've caved a little on the inside. You like power in the bedroom, I state without a trace of blush. I'm proud of myself. His skill and influence on my entire being has me nervous.
I do.
His face is completely impassive. Are you a dominant? I blurt, and then mentally stab myself with a fancy silver fork at my place setting. Where did that come from? He coughs, nearly spitting his water all over me. Placing his glass down, he picks up his cloth napkin to wipe his mouth as he shakes his head on a half smile.
Ava, I don't need that sort of arrangement to get a woman to do what I want her to do in the bedroom.
You're very controlling, I state coolly, observing the swirling of my wine. I'll get that one out there too.
Look at me,
he demands softly, and like the slave to him that I am, I look, finding his green eyes have softened as he sits back, relaxed in his chair.
Only with you.
Why?
I don't know.
He has a quick chew of his lip.
You make me crazy.
I sigh wearily into my wine glass. I make him crazy?
Right back at you, Ward.
Here's your pasta.
I look up and see Luigi singing as he approaches.
Lovely people.
He places two considerable bowls in front of us.
Buon appetito.
Thank you, Luigi. Jesse smiles politely. I stir the pasta with my fork and play with it for a few moments. Then I try a bit.
Good?
Jesse asks. I nod, and we eat in a comfortable silence for a while, occasionally tossing stares at each other.
When did you buy the penthouse?
I ask. He pauses with his fork halfway to his mouth.
March,
he answers, taking his last mouthful of food and pushing his bowl away before picking up his water.
You never told me why you requested me personally to work on the extension of the manor.
I give up on my pasta, pushing it away. Jesse looks at the half-eaten dish and returns his eyes to mine.
I bought the penthouse and loved what you did with it. I can assure you, I didn't expect you to come rocking up with your perfect figure, olive skin, and big brown eyes.
He shakes his head, as if shaking off the memory. I feel somewhat better knowing he was as shocked to see me as I was to see him. You weren't exactly the lord of the manor I was expecting either. I do my own little shudder when I recall the effect he had on me, the effect he still has on me.
How did you know where I was on that Monday lunchtime when I bumped into you at the bar?
He shrugs.
Lucky guess.
Of course,
I scoff. Followed me more like. I look up and see a smile tickling the edge of his luscious lips.
I couldn't think of anything else after you left the manor. I had to have you.
Do you always take what you want?
He watches me across the table, his face completely straight as he leans forward.
I can't answer that, Ava, because I've never wanted anything enough to pursue it so relentlessly. Not like I wanted you.
And now you have me.
I pause and force myself to ask the one question I can't shake.
So, with the chase over, do you still? Want me, I mean?
He sits back in his chair and studies me, stroking his glass of water.
More than anything.
A little gush of air escapes my mouth. I'm not sure if it's relief or desire.
Then I'm yours.
His tongue slowly sweeps across his bottom lip.
Ava, you've been mine since you turned up at the manor.
Have I?
Yes. Will you spend the night with me?
Are you asking or demanding?
I'm asking, but if you give me the wrong answer, then I'm sure I can think of something to change your mind.
He smiles slightly.
I'll spend the night with you.
He nods in approval.
Tomorrow night?
Yes.
Take the day off,
he demands.
No.
His eyes narrow.
What about Friday evening?
I've arranged to go out with Kate on Friday night,
I inform him, resisting the temptation to reach up and twiddle my hair. He can't assume I'm there whenever he demands.
I hope Kate's free.
His narrowed eyes instantly darken.
Cancel.
Now, this is something I do need to clear up pronto. His neurotic unreasonableness. I'm going out to have a few drinks. You can't stop me from seeing my friends, Jesse.
How many is a few drinks?
I can feel my brow knitting.
I don't know. That depends on how I feel. I look at him accusingly. He starts chewing his bottom lip again, and I can see the cogs of his mind going into overdrive. He's trying to work out how he's going to get around this. I haven't done myself any favors by getting in such a state last Saturday.
I don't want you out drinking without me,
he says firmly.
That's a bit of bad luck, isn't it? God, I'm being rather brave. We'll see, he muses to himself. We sit quietly, looking at each other across the table, him scowling, me hiding a small smile. After a few moments, he leans back casually in his chair at a slight angle, his eyes rapt with intention. I don't shy away from his concentrated stare. I meet it with equal intent, in a barefaced come-on. I want him desperately, despite his challenging ways. Luigi comes over and clears our plates, intruding on our moment.
You like?
He sings. Jesse doesn't fracture the connection.
Great, Luigi. Thank you.
His voice is throaty, and he's tapping the table with his middle finger. I feel his leg brush against mine, and that's all it takes to hitch my breath up several notches and spring my nerve endings to life. I'm blazing from head to toe, and he knows it.
The bill, please, Luigi,
he demands, his friendly tone altering into one of urgency. Luigi seems to get the message because he doesn't offer us the dessert menu. He just scuttles off, returning almost immediately, carrying a black plate filled with mince and a piece of paper. Without looking at the bill, Jesse stands and pulls a wad of notes from his jeans pocket, slapping some down on the table. He reaches over and seizes my hand.
We're going.
I'm hauled from my chair and rush to the door. Are you in a hurry? I ask as I'm guided to the car by my elbow. He makes no attempt to slow down.
Yes.
When we reach the car, I'm whirled around and shoved up against the door. His forehead meets mine, our heavy breaths merging together in the small space between our mouths. His erection is painfully hard against my lower stomach. Oh, God. I want him to take me here and now. Damn anyone who wants to watch. I'm going to fuck you until you're seeing stars, Ava. His voice is harsh as he grinds his hips against me. I whimper.
You won't be going to work tomorrow because you won't be able to walk. Get in the car.
I would, but I already can't walk. Suspense has rendered me immobile. After a few seconds have passed, and I've still not convinced my legs to shift, he pulls me out of the way, opens the door, and gently shoves me into the passenger seat. Chapter 20. Our journey back to Luso is the longest I've ever endured. The sexual tension bouncing around in his car is excruciating, and Jesse is almost violent when he gets stuck behind a Sunday driver. He skids to a halt outside the electronic gates of Luso and presses a remote to open them, his hand drumming on the steering wheel as he waits impatiently for them to shift. I smile.
You're going to have a seizure if you don't calm down.
He pauses with the drumming and looks at me, all smoky-eyed.
Ava, I've had a fucking seizure every day since I've met you.
You're swearing a lot,
I muse as the gates open and he pulls into the car park fast and carelessly.
And you're going to be screaming a lot. Out, he orders.
I've no doubt I will be, but I do love it when he's in these frenzies. I take my time getting out of the car, and when I'm finally vertical, I glance up to find him in front of me with a very irked look on his face.
What are you doing?
He asks incredulously at my leisurely pace. I gaze around at the black nighttime sky and down to the docks before returning my eyes to him.
Do you fancy a walk?
His mouth drops open.
Do I fancy a walk?
Yes, it's a lovely evening. I'm doing a rubbish job of hiding my smug smile.
No, Ava. I fancy fucking you until you beg me to stop.
He bends, grabs me around the back of my thighs, and hoists me over his shoulder, kicking shut the door of his ridiculously expensive car.
Jesse!
My stomach catapults into my mouth at the swift movement.
I'll walk!
He strides into the foyer of Luso determinedly.
Not fast enough. Good evening, Clive.
I brace my hands on Jesse's lower back, craning my head up to find Clive observing me draped over Jesse's shoulder. What must he think of me? The last time I entered Luso, I was being carried too.
I'm not drunk,
I yell, watching Clive disappear from sight, as Jesse carries me into the elevator and punches the code in harshly. In my sassy state, I slide my hands beneath his jeans onto his fantastic tight arse to feel the tense and swell of his muscles and smooth, warm skin as he strides out of the lift.
No fucking about. I want inside you now. You fuck about, I swear to God.
You're so romantic.
We've got all the time in the world for romance, lady.
I smile to myself as he barges into the penthouse, slamming the door behind him. I'm a touch disorientated when he lowers me to my feet in the kitchen, leaving me standing before him, my hands resting on his shoulders, trying to get my bearings.
You know, you're really not going to be in a fit state to work tomorrow.
His hot breath is leaving condensation on my face.
Strip now.
I'm shaking, visibly shaking. I try to pull myself together, but it's impossible when he's looking at me like this. I feel his hands lay over mine and peel them away from his shoulders. He places them on my stomach.
Start with a shirt.
His voice is throaty, tinged with a bit of desperation. I can do this. I can be audacious. So, am I in charge? I ask, inwardly bracing myself for his scoff. It doesn't come. He looks at me, the slight surprise at my question clear, but he doesn't laugh. He can't be in control all of the time.
If it makes you happy.
He unclasps his Rolex and slides it onto the island. I take a deep breath and, staring him boldly in the eye, raise my hands to my top button, willing my fingers to cooperate. Every button I undo, his face strains harder and I become bolder. If this isn't fucking about, then I don't know what is. I release my shirt, letting it hang open, and watch as he scrapes his eyes down my torso, his tongue running across his parted bottom lip. Then, taking my hands to my shoulders, I pull my shirt away, accentuating the slow push forward of my breasts when I lower it down my arms, and like the wanton sex fiend I am, I hold it out to my side for a few seconds while his eyes travel back up my body. When our eyes meet again, I dramatically open my palm and let it fall to the floor, leaving my arm outstretched and hovering at my side for a few seconds. His eyes are blazing, his forehead damp.
I love you in lace,
he whispers. Smiling, I lower my hands to the fly of my trousers and lazily undo one button at a time as he watches, his panting increasing by the second. The drain on his self-control has him chewing his lip to the point of drawing blood. Once all the buttons are undone and my trousers are gaping open, I stand with my hands tucked in the front, ready to drag them down my legs, but I don't. I'm too enthralled by his reaction to my shameless strip. He looks up at me, his eyes blazing and desperate.
I could rip them off in 2 seconds flat.
But you won't. My voice is husky and alluring. I'm stunned by my own brashness.
You'll wait.
I kick my shoes off, sending them flying a few yards across the kitchen. He follows their course before looking back at me with raised eyebrows.
Taking this a bit far, aren't you?
I smile sweetly as little by little, inch by inch, I slide my capri pants down my legs
and kick them off until I'm standing in my coral lace underwear before this glorious man.